Doing a live class on YouTube.
You got it. You got it. It's so much fun. It's just like, I mean, I'm one of those folks that likes to be in a coffee shop or likes to be around people, not necessarily interacting, but I love that feeling of everyone's working together. I think that also gets translated in a triathlon. It's typically a solo sport in that you don't really do it with a team, but there's a huge group of people that are all just kind of, working out together or they're executing an event together. And that feeling is just, it just unites everybody together.
Wow. Speaking of that feeling of rising, I want to go back to the title of Rising with the Saffron Sun. I'm picturing saffron in a bowl or saffron in my tea, but tell us about the Saffron Sun.
Okay, thank you. That's an excellent question, Charlotte, and I'm so glad you asked it. So, one of the things is my character, as I said, she originates from India. She has a little bit of this core where she connects with nature. She's really drawn towards like nature, and this sport also connects you towards nature. Now, saffron as a color is very deeply symbolic in the Indian culture, so I kind of wanted her core Indian background to be to be at the forefront. And also, another thing is, although she goes to Canada for this triathlon, and she's part of this community in Canada now, executing this race, and she makes all of these friends over there. I still want her to feel that she's still connected to her root in some manner, and that's the reason I picked this image. Like I think I personally felt it as an Indian immigrant in Canada. I personally had these moments where I suddenly started feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my connection with my root. But then when I see some colors or I listen to some songs or some food, or these sensory memories make me feel like I could be anywhere in the world, but I'm still rooted and I'm still grounded. That's why I wanted this to be like she is rising, but she's rising with the saffron sun, and no matter where she is, she's going to be connected to her culture.
Well, I was picturing it. The word grounding was coming to me as you were speaking, because we have stories of athletes who have mental or emotional health breakdowns because, as they get separated out from their community, are expected to behave in a certain way, they lose their grounding. So I think that it's important that it'll be important in reading this book to see how she grounded the character.
Yes, and also there's a little bit of a hint there. You will only find out towards the end of the book. It does take a very unexpected turn. You have to know, all I can say is you have to know that I'm a technology professional, so that flavor is always going to be there in my book. So there is a little bit of a twist. I am going to be writing a sequel to this book as well. So you have to kind of tune in to see the deeper meaning of Rising with the Saffron Sun.
Now, is this a romance? I heard this is a romance novel.
I've tried not to make that the focal. I will just say that it's contemporary coming of age, but I'll leave it at that. There's subtle romance, maybe.
Yeah, we're not going to say it has to be, but it's just the idea. Sometimes people want to read a book where there's a happy relationship or something interesting,
Yes.
going on.
Yep, for sure.
Are you now within your workplace or environment or people, do people ask you to talk or speak about your experience as an athlete or your experience in endurance? Is there any way that that overlaps into your work environment or social environment?
Really, I think my colleagues definitely know that I like endurance sports and I like participating in all of this. But like I said, and this is a very interesting question that you've asked me, actually, Charlotte, because I work with a multinational company. There's folks from different walks of life over here. And what I notice is that for certain communities, For example, I think let's just say that it's predominantly, maybe let's just say that it's a predominantly North American presence. So you see a lot of North American folks here, right? It is just a part of their life. This is my observation. As someone who was an immigrant, when I first moved to Vancouver, I used to tell my friends in India, everyone wears Lululemon. Everyone's got a cup of coffee. Everyone's either going out on a run or they are biking. And all of this is just part of the culture. It's just everyday life. But if I were to do something like that, it would be news in my friend circle. Everyone would be like, wow, you did this long distance bike ride. This is amazing. So what I noticed is that once I kind of got into this sport, I realized that for a majority of my colleagues, this is just normal. This is just part of your life. But if I talk with my friends that are primarily from India and they're based in India, for them, this is something unique and this is something, wow, this is something extraordinary. So I find myself talking and sharing more with them rather than my colleagues. For my colleagues, it's like, hey, great, welcome to the sport, welcome to this side of the world.
Yeah, I think, well, my experience growing up in the United States as a black child, I loved track. I loved running. And in junior high, girls could run track. And then suddenly we got over into senior high, and we were told they weren't going to have a sports program, running program for the girls. And someone decided it was not feminine, that there was no support in the community for it. And so a friend, Linda, and I decided we would organize a cafeteria strike. Well, of course, they called our parents and just said, tame it down. So I didn't run again from then. I just something made me feel like, how could it be so bad? And then when you mentioned about hair, when we had swimming or we had different events, there was this thing, your hair needs to be, it can't be, there were so many can'ts. And then so many worries about getting your hair wet. Well, now, there's so many products and so many things, but there was someone that actually gave, during the time I was in high school, Kansas City, Kansas was, even though it was a northern state, it was still de facto segregated. So five high schools, five black junior highs, all fed into one historical black high school. And so we had one of our instructors had run in the Olympics in Germany, but there was just no mention, no idea, no encouragement that you would throw a javelin or broad jump, some of these things that you see now. So, but around hair, there was a thing, oh, you would have to cut your hair if you run. And now to see the women from Africa, Kenya, all over the United States with long braids, not just braids, but long braids, and obviously it is not cutting down their time. So I think being able, as you are talking to girls and exposing, there are a lot of myths that people of color, there are different little things that are discouraging. Little things in between the lines, not overt, but things that in the back of your mind think, oh, well, maybe I don't belong, or maybe if I do belong, or if I go and I take my bike, they won't accept me, or they'll ride away from me. So I think that's one of the exciting things about your book being there. Books inspire other people to write, and then you said you're going to do a sequel, a series. That's exciting because, this is still a reality that people of color, or women of color in particular, are not really shown to be normal, have normal relationships, have aspirations, have children, do the different things that you do, go to a YouTube room at night. But
I know some incredible women out there, women of color out there that are everyday folks. I like to think of them as everyday athletes. They are not really champions. Like I know Sika Henry, whom I'm so inspired by. She's the first Black woman pro triathlete ever. So she's amazing. When I saw her, especially when I was looking for my hair, I came across a post and that's how I stumbled upon Sika Henry. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. But I do have some friends who are women of color that are also into endurance sports, and they have a lot more in their lives. Like they have kids, they have, full-time, some of them have two full-time, they have two jobs, a full-time job and a part-time job. They're still doing this. I want all of these stories to be out there. I want these stories to reach everybody. And I don't want to make it entirely only sports oriented. So you will see in this novel as well, there's an interesting story wrapped around it. So I just want this to be, once our narrative enters into pop culture, that's when things start becoming, hey, this is normal. Everybody does this, and so do we. So I want this book to have a similar effect, I'm hoping. Recently, one of my friends from college, she said that she's going to be sharing this book with her daughter, whose ambition is to swim in the sea. So when I heard that, I just felt like so great. I just felt like this was the best feeling ever. I just want these normal. I know if I would have growing up, if I would have told my primary caregiver that I want to swim in the sea, she'd have said, there's something wrong with you. Like, what is wrong? What are you doing? So I want these little dreams and aspirations, and even this thought that when it comes into your mind, when you see something on TV and you think that, yeah, maybe I should give this a try. I want a person to just go and do that instead of, just letting that thought go.
And it's interesting that you've got, you already are picturing the sequels, what's going to follow. I see the movie, I see that Safran Hassan.
Oh, well.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we would take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. The day I'll rise up. LVA. I will rise a thousand times again. And we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up and we'll do it a thousand times again. Be you, be you, be you, be you.
One of the things you ask people about their passion, their project, and their purpose, what do you feel is your purpose in life? Do you think people are born and have a purpose in life?
Yeah, I think everybody has a purpose in life. And there was this one morning when I woke up, incidentally, and I was, you know, looking at the sunrise. In a moment, I realized that my soul's purpose is to educate. Now, I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm not an expert at anything, but I'm an expert at learning. I love learning. I love continuous learning. And my soul's purpose is to take my learning process and share it with as many people as I can so that they can learn too. And just stay with me here. There's this incredible podcaster and intellectual, I would call him, Dr. Andrew Huberman. In one of his podcasts, he explains that one of the most effective ways of studying is if you study a concept or you learn something and you immediately go out and you teach it to someone.
Yes.
You're not an expert,
yes,
but you are learning something and you're immediately teaching it to someone. That is what helps you with your own learning process. So I quickly understood that this is my soul's purpose. Learn. This is going to be a lifelong activity for me to learn, but it's incomplete unless and until I share and I educate. And that's how this book or anything I do in my life, I just love sharing it and I love educating. I love I love it when people are part of my learning process. So this is what is the purpose. And that's how this project also came about. I want folks to learn something maybe about themselves when they're reading the book, or maybe learn something new about the Salish people. I do touch upon that in my book because, you know, part of the book is based in Vancouver, in British Columbia. So, you know, really just learn something about yoga maybe. And all of these things are something that I'm learning. I would love for other folks to learn with me.
Now, in comparison with that magazine that I saw in a grocery, pharmacy store, where every page gave you something else to worry about, and then the next page gave you the solutions they had in a bottle or a powder. But I see this excitement that you have. It can excite people in two ways. It could excite them about getting involved in a sport or endurance sports, but also say, oh, she wrote a book, maybe I could too.
Yes.
I think we are going to ask you where people can contact you, where can they get the book? Tell us about that.
Sure. So the best place to get the book is on Amazon. It is available on several markets, several countries on Amazon, in both the Kindle format as well as the print paperback format. One of the interesting things that I've learned through this process is that you can download a Kindle app on any device. And you can really just read from a digital bookshelf. So if that works for you, that's great. So right now, the book is just out and it is exclusively on Amazon. And the best place to get in touch with me is to read that piece of my heart that I've put out there. And please leave me a review. I am waiting to see those reviews out there and I will respond to each and every review that comes my way.
Yes, for people who may not know, reviews are important on whatever platform a person has, because because the people who do the marketing, the people who invite people to go with them if they're going on a book tour or a book fair, they look at the reviews. So as you enjoy the book, as soon as you've read the first two or three pages, do a review so that it encourages other people. And also because it's something that in the experience of people learning how do I market a book, it's like what goes around comes around. So if you have been the kind of person that's commented on other people's books or even just sent them an encouraging word, that's something that you can welcome to come into your life as you create, whether it's a book, a story, a picture, but it's just, it goes around. It comes around.
Folks can even go a step further if they finish reading the book, or even if they read a sample chapter and it makes them feel like going out for a run or a bike ride or a swim. I think that would be the best gift that I can receive. Mm. That would be the best message that I can receive.
I'm picturing that the person is on the beach and, you know, they anchor their book down, go and get in the water, come back.
What a wonderful feeling. Oh, what a wonderful feeling that is. I love that. I love that image, Charlotte.
I love that image of the saffron sun. Is there somehow I'm picturing, well, maybe I'm seeing the movie and I see the saffron sun.
I love.
But is the saffron sun something that people, you know, here we have eclipse and different things where people go to watch it because it's the moon is so exciting. Is the saffron sun something that is like that?
That's a very beautiful angle that you've brought up. And I'm glad you asked me this question. So this character, she is primarily like a natural runner kind of thing. She's grown up, she's been running around this specific mountain range in a state in India. And one of the things that this is known for is when you actually go to a sunrise point, you can actually see each peak getting lit, or, you know, getting bathed in that golden saffron hue if you catch it at the right time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do go to these peaks to just catch that glimpse of every peak, that those cascading peaks being lit up by that golden light. So that was the primary inspiration. And I kept looking for that effect when I moved to Vancouver. I kept looking for that effect of that sunrise, and I would literally be chasing the sunrise every morning. And then it's the first time in my life when I moved to North America and to Canada, I learned that there could be days when there is no sun. I never knew this. In India, there's way too much
sun. Those days I want to just crawl under the covers.
Oh,
that there is no sun. It's just gray.
Yeah. So I became this person when I was in Vancouver, when I would just chase the sunrise. I just want to see the sunrise or the sunset, anything, just show me the sun. So that's where that's when I realized how much I took that those sunrises that I saw in India for granted. But every time I would see a stunning sunrise in Vancouver, over a peak or over a hill even, it was the most beautiful, most uplifting feeling. Even sunsets, actually, those are also incredibly beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I love sunsets. There's some beautiful sunsets across against the mountains here. When I look out my back, the sun, I'm living in the west, and so I see the sun glinting pinks and purples, all kind of colors off the mountains.
Beautiful.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own sister C, here at CJSF. This morning we've had the privilege of having as our guest Vasundhara Srinivasan. She is more than a technology leader. She is an inspiration in technology, a yoga instructor. She ties so many things together between her enthusiasm to teach people, but to motivate people to read a book or to do something, read, write, or experience. I'll say I call letters again because you could tell a friend. Join us at cjsf.ca. The Sulauau Show is Sulauau, and it's because my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. So this morning, our guest, Vasundhara, has given us a lot of things that we could act upon. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come and be with us.
Thank you, Charlotte, for making me a part of this wonderful community. I am sending the warmest hug and this, you know, cup full of saffron sunshine to all the listeners. May this book bring you joy. May your day be fantastic.
And just knowing it's, if you read it real fast, she's an inspired writer, so there'll be more to come. That's sometimes, I've had some books that I've read and I wanted, you know, some more to come. So now I can be excited that as I get this book, I can look forward to the next one.
Lily, you got it.
Okay, well, have a wonderful weekend, and I will hear you again, because we want to keep in touch with your story and see what happens as you speak. I can see you speaking every age group, because there's something speaking to children, speaking to elderly people like me, because the energy, when you talked about sometimes at night when people can't sleep, people used to get a book, but then it's so much you have to go through. But now, with books that read themselves, and you mentioned Kindle, that there are other opportunities, that this is just, I think you are a cheerleader. We need to make a, tell the technology people, we need your cape.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlotte. Okay. So grateful. Thank you.
And I'll see you again. And when people ask me what time it is, I always say it's love time, poem time. Love.
Right back at you. Time. Take care, Sean.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time. Love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Your roof is leaking. It's your lucky day. Over a quarter of a million Canadians would give anything to be so lucky. But a crisis in affordable housing prevents that. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
From natural disasters to unforeseen accidents, emergency preparedness is a crucial element of maintaining a safe school environment. Canada's diverse geography means schools can be vulnerable to a range of natural hazards, including severe weather, flooding, wildfires, and earthquakes. National School Safety Week is October 17 to 23, and the Canada Safety Council urges schools and communities to focus on strengthening emergency preparedness protocols. Find out more at canadasafetycouncil.org.